Hello and welcome to another episode of Overtime Podcast. I'm your main host, Mark, and as always, my right-hand man, Michael.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, it's our sixth episode today, Michael. Can you believe it?
Oh, man, can't believe it at all.
I know. Today, unfortunately, we have no special guests, but we're just going to do it, me and you. We're going to go through a lot of great topics out there with baseball season just started and everything, and basketball about to hit the postseason. Well, we'll talk about that later. But before we start the show, today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/overtime. There's over 85,000 titles to choose from that you could download straight from your iPod or your MP3 player. But today we got a lot in store, Michael. But before we start off, I would like to just make sure to let everybody know to, if you haven't visited our website already, please visit us at vitanews.com. If you have a Twitter, just follow us at Vita News. And if you have Facebook, like I always say in the show, get the trio package and just search for us on Facebook. Also, make sure to follow our sister company, Coffee with Rob, always having his posts and amazing podcasts once a week, just like we do. And make sure to listen to his show as well. Great show. And sadly, just to clarify what happened today with Japan. Japan got hit by another earthquake. My regards to everybody in Japan. They're certainly suffering through a lot. But anyways, let's go straight to basketball. It seems like the season's almost already ending. Couple games left. Michael, any team right now scaring you right now for that postseason? Anybody that you sticking out right now, do you see that's going to be very scary in the playoffs?
Well, I'm going to go from the East, and right now the Chicago Bulls playing amazingly well, and with Boston declining, Chicago has stepped up and shown the world that they can ride with the best of them. So they're my team to be from the East, but you can't forget about Miami. And from the West, the Spurs, even though they clinched the number one seed, I'm still sticking with the defending champion, the Los Angeles Lakers. I believe they still got what it takes to win the championship this year.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Chicago actually is a complete surprise. Since the beginning of the season, nobody expecting Chicago to be the number one team. I certainly didn't have Chicago, and I love Chicago and everything that they have done. But it shows how amazing Derrick Rose and what every Tom Thibodeau has done for the team. Adding Carlos Boozer and all of them being unhealthy, they still have a 3-game lead, and looks like they will finish with the first seed overall. Most likely going to have to play Indiana from what looks to be Chicago-Indiana series as your first seed, eighth seed. I think, though, a team, personally, I have to be afraid of at this point in time, I would have to be afraid of the Orlando Magic. Now, I know a lot of people might not agree with me and stuff like that. I still, when you have Dwight Howard there, it should be very scary for anybody because there's not a lot of great centers. And sure, Dwight Howard may be one-dimensional, but he makes a lot of people change completely their defense, forcing them to double-team, forcing them to completely put bodies on Dwight Howard and allowing Hedo Turkoglu, Jason Richardson, Jameer Nelson to hit those three along with J.J. Redick. And that's a big thing when it comes to the playoffs. So I have an eye on Orlando, but of course Chicago is a scary team, and you can never forget about Miami. And going to your Western Conference right now, I agree. The Lakers are still a scary team. They're always scary. But I just cannot stop drooling on the fact how Oklahoma City has gotten so good with the acquisitions that they have made. We've been talking about this over and over in the show, but it has really helped the Oklahoma City Thunder. It makes them a scary team. I was talking to you, Michael, I remember like about 1 or 2 days ago. I was talking to you about, you imagine if the Lakers had to go against the team that they have gone now, do you think they would have won?
Against the Thunder?
Yes, with adding Kendrick Perkins and with Serge Ibaka making a bigger step, James Harden as well. Do you think they had? Did you think the Lakers would have won game seven?
Oh, wow, that's a tough question, man. I really don't know. That's a really good. That would have been a really good game with the acquisitions that they made this year. That would have been there last year. I think the Lakers would have pulled off, but the Thunder. I think the Thunder this year have become really good, and they're gonna challenge them for all it's worth for this year's bit of a championship.
I think personally they might have probably would have taken the series and not even gone to game seven. You're now talking about Kendrick Perkins down there, Kendrick Perkins being able to stop Bynum and Gasol, and but Bynum was hurt, you know, he wasn't 100%. So if you had a healthy Kendrick Perkins and the way Serge Ibaka's playing, it's going to be very interesting to see what Oklahoma City does right now. But they're certainly, to me, a scary team. Not taken away from the Lakers, they have played absolutely great on a three-game losing streak, but they'll turn it around.
I wanted to go back on what you said about Orlando Dwight Howard. When you say, like, he's one-dimensional and stuff, but you think about it, there's nobody in the East that has a dominant center that comes close to Dwight Howard to stop his dominance.
Yeah, that's completely true. I mean, we're talking about, well, with Chicago letting go of Kendrick Perkins, I mean, we don't know how good Shaquille O'Neal will be able to cover Dwight Howard. I'm pretty sure that's why the Celtics grabbed Shaquille O'Neal in the beginning, just in case Orlando was going to be that, you know, elite team, which they still are, but not at the level that probably the Celtics have expected. But, you know, you have to look at Shaquille O'Neal in Boston. Maybe could try to stop Dwight Howard a little bit, and Joakim Noah if he's completely healthy for Chicago. It all depends to see.
You can ask Cleveland how good Shaq was for them stopping Dwight a couple years ago.
Yeah, most definitely. We have to see. We have to see, though, because Orlando's that team that they could be on their game and they're very scary, or they could be off their game and, well, they just could get swept.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to our next topic on basketball, though. Mike, quick question. Who do you think is going to take the second seed, Boston or Miami?
Boston's declining and Miami is kind of a hot streak. I think I'm going to go with Miami. Yeah.
You're going to go?
Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to go with Miami. Even with Dwayne Wade being hurt down the stretch. If I was Miami, don't play Dwayne. Let him heal his thigh. Let LeBron and Bosh handle their business there. And, you know, LeBron's going to take over the game. And, yeah, they're going to secure the number two seed if Boston keeps on their decline.
Well, let me see here. It's 78 games the Heat have played. It means they got 4 games left.
Mm-hmm.
They're half a game back. I would go probably with Miami as well, due to the fact of the remaining schedule that Miami has is a lot easier than the Boston. Considering they have to play each other, and that might be where, you know, it might determine who gets second place, I still would have to go with Miami. Favorable matchups coming towards Miami compared to Boston has a very strong last 4 or 5 games left. But I also would have to go with Miami. And we have to see with that. But most definitely, if the season were to end right now, I actually prefer Miami going against New York. Do you agree with that, Mike?
Oh, my God. This will be my dream matchup, bro. You're talking about probably reviving one of the best rivalry in NBA in a long time. I'm sure you remember all those playoff series between the Heat and Knicks, you know, Zoe against Patrick Ewing. Man, they went at it. When PJ Brown.
Allen Houston. I hate Allen. I'm just throwing it out there.
No, man, I hated him too as a Heat fan. I would hate it. We're going to win. And he just comes with that dagger and just killed us, man. I remember PJ Brown picking up. Who was it? Was it Allen Houston? I know it was a long time. I don't quite remember. I just remember him picking up Saga and just like body slamming him to the ground. It's just memorable moments. Now, do I think they're going to go down that road? Maybe, but you got Melo against LeBron. Just that right there makes headlines. And then you throw in Amar against Chris Bosh. You also have Wade in the mix. Man, it's going to be a very, very fun series. And they're going to reamp this rivalry for many years to come.
Hopefully. I also would like it. Might be easier if Miami will go against Philly if they move to the second seed. But then I just would like to see Boston get roughed up a little bit with New York, and hopefully New York will give them a tough challenge and kind of tire out the Boston Celtics. Because right now, Boston, just to give a quick overview, all the playoff teams are already set except where they officially play. If they're like, if the season were to end today, it'll be Chicago and Indiana, Boston and Philadelphia, Miami, New York, and Orlando and Atlanta. Miami going against New York obviously would be very probably the favorite matchup besides the Orlando Atlanta game compared to the Chicago Indiana and the Boston and Philadelphia ain't so much of a series. I mean, there's always surprises, but ain't much of a series there. The real games would be Miami and New York and Orlando and Atlanta. But I think I would like Miami to pick on Philadelphia. Philadelphia's a good, tough fighting team. And hopefully, I would like Boston to get a big fight compared to the Knicks rather than the Philly and Miami. I mean, it goes hand in hand because if the Heat do go against the New York, they actually maybe will wake up faster as opposed to going against Philly. They'll just, walk in the park it or something and, maybe they won't be on their game. But I think it's a win-win regardless. But no doubt that Miami, New York, it would be a great series to go to.
That's why I would like Miami to go against New York. Now, also talking about the rivalry, it's a wake-up call. You're not going against a team like Philly. Which it'll be an easier task. I'm not saying easy. It's easier against going to the Knicks, but I would rather them go against the Knicks in the first round to see. Look, it's a playoffs. Time to wake up. Show up or go home.
Most definitely. Maybe that's what helped the Lakers actually win the series last year, don't you think?
Oh man, they got a big wake up call. They're like, "What? The Thunder? Kevin Durant? Nah, man, we can't lose to them. What are we gonna look like?"
Yeah, the young team actually proved a lot and made I probably the Lakers champions due to that. They completely woke up and they took no nonsense after that. They all thought this was gonna be a walk in the park all the way to the title. And it so happened that wasn't the case. Thunder gave him a good wake-up call and a good fight all the way to Game 7. And maybe that's what helped the Lakers. Maybe the Heat need that, especially when you have so many, talented players in the team. They could actually could benefit them. Though, moving on to the West, though. All, like I said, just like the East, all teams that are in the playoffs are in. Now, where they stand in the seed, that could change towards the next remaining four or five games left. Which would mean San Antonio right now would go against Memphis. The Los Angeles Lakers will go against the Portland Trail Blazers. The Dallas Mavericks will go against the New Orleans Hornets. And the Oklahoma City Thunder will go against the Denver Nuggets. Which one's your favorite matchup there, Mike?
Oh man, I'm gonna have to go with LA against Portland, man. Ever since the day you introduced me to Portland, man, I have not been able to say one bad thing about this team. Everything you said about them is so true. They're young, they're amazing. And plus, with the addition of Jerald Wallace, they just made this team even better. Yeah, they're a little banged up. Marcus can't be dealing with injury and stuff. And B-Roy's slowly coming back. But come playoff time, they're gonna be ready and they're gonna give LA a run for their money. Now, where they went? Seven games they're gonna lose, but you know what? It's gonna be another fight like the Thunder gave the Lakers, and it's gonna be sad because I see this Blazer team at a lot of potential, and in the future going probably even to the NBA Finals if they keep this core of players.
I have to agree with your matchup, though. I don't believe Portland will probably stay in the seventh seed. I think they will probably move up to the sixth seed, considering they are banged up. The New Orleans Hornets got a big loss in losing David West for the remaining of the year. And I start to question if Chris Paul with Emeka Okafor and Trevor Ariza can carry the load. I know Karl Landry has stepped it up, but he definitely is not a David West by far. So I do
There is.
believe, though. What were you saying, Michael?
No, I was gonna say there. It's big shoes to fill. Maybe this is where the Karl Landry acquisition comes in handy. Just in case, kind of. Yeah, I'm not gonna say kind of like the Jeff Green acquisition was for Boston, because that's kind of biting them back. But maybe with Karl Landry there, maybe Chris Paul can help him become a miniature David West. I'm just throwing that out there.
We'll see what happens, though. I don't believe, though, New Orleans will finish at the sixth seed. I think they will probably drop down at the seventh. And the Portland Trail Blazers will play against Dallas, which would probably mean my favorite matchup, if that would be the case. Dallas versus Portland. I like Dallas a lot. They're my sleeper team. You know that. We discussed about this. Dallas is a team. If they're on their game, they have a very scary team. Even Caron Butler, depending if he's going to be able to come back for some games during the series and stuff, they're still a scary team. Jason Kidd, Jason Terry, Sean Marion. I mean, their team is so deep that it's super scary. And, when you have all those scary players that are deep, so that role players, and you know, do what they need to do off the bench and everything around Dirk Nowitzki, who's like unstoppable. That's a scary team, in my opinion.
But they are a scary team, very, very scary team.
But like I said, I introduced Portland. I saw Portland and the acquisitions they made when they added Brandon Roy from Washington and LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, Longhorn. I like Greg Oden. They're just getting better and better. Good coach right behind them. And like I said, it's a team. It's got a lot of depth. And, well, I've always, you know, liked them in the West. And we'll see what they can do. Kind of banged up and stuff like that. Let's see if they're fighters in the playoffs. That's all that matters. That's why I like the team. The team hustles overall. And we got to see what Portland does. But they'll have a tough matchup either way. Either LA or Dallas, depending how the season, you know, ends up. Moving up to another matchup I would like to discuss, though. This will kind of be a very challenging game from Oklahoma City, though, considering the fact Denver looks like they got unlocked that fifth seed. New Orleans and Portland are three games away from Denver, and Denver right now, they're just staying in the games, and they're winning. Can you believe it? I mean, literally, everybody here was discussing about, you know, they're, you know, they got no superstars there. I mean, we talk about this in the show all the time, you know. They got no mediocre, you know, they all got a mediocre team everywhere. Good players, you know, quality players everywhere, role players all around. No superstar, and they're in a better position than New York right now. That's kind of weird, don't you believe?
It's eyebrow raising. It's like you look at it, you're like, oh man, New York got a... They got their team. They're going to go to the top. And then you see Denver. What was it? They went 9-0, 10-0 after the trade?
Yeah, it was. I don't know the complete stat, but I know it's been like that. And ever since, they've had a better record than what, you know, Melo was for the entire year. I mean,
they lost their first home game. Lost their first home game, like, not too long ago. And I was like, wow, your first home game loss was now after the trade? Like, I was like, wow.
Well, just a quick statistic to back up. I mean, they have as good as a home record, almost the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs are 35-5, while Denver is in second place overall in 31-8, which is, you know, ridiculous. I know Carmelo Anthony helped them win a lot of games at home, but, you know, considering, you know, after you lose Carmelo Anthony, such a superstar, you know, You would think they would start losing a little bit of games, but, you know, their fans must be very, you know, happy on everything that's been happening in Denver. Everybody's playing really good, like you said. Like, we've always talked about them. It's just the team I need to discuss because it's amazing what they're doing now, considering, you know, the pain and suffering of losing a superstar. I mean, we wouldn't want the three kings here to leave now either. It would be pain and suffering for everybody. I mean, whenever you lose a superstar, it must be, you know, hurtful to whatever team, not only, you know, for the fans, but, you know, for the whole economy of the state, you get me?
Yeah, just imagine going. We said about Miami. If we didn't get Bosh and LeBron, imagine us without Wade. You know, a city of Miami will be like, it'll be sad. It will be like, wow, like what we're gonna do now?
It's a big loss, but thank God we didn't have to worry about that. Instead, we stole two more superstars. That's what we do. But yeah, that's enough for professional basketball. Let's talk about actually amazing events that happened in basketball. Well, as last week's predictions were, Michael picked that Butler would go with Kentucky to the championship, and he was 50% right. Butler did make it. Javi was about 0% correct, if that even exists. He picked VCU versus Kentucky, and nor VCU... Neither Kentucky, yeah, didn't make it. And I, your main host, was 100% right. Connecticut versus Butler. Now, I know we didn't do the predictions of who was going to win the championship, but I kind of believed if you were to ask me, I was going to take Connecticut over Butler. As much as Butler was a very good fighting team, I knew they were not going to be able to compete with the Connecticut team. And that is kind of our next topic that I want to introduce. Kind of disappointing game. I had to turn off the game during the second quarter. It was ridiculous. Butler could not, they couldn't make shots. And talk about, that's just maybe by luck. I know that Shelvin Mack and Matt Howard and other players are very good shot takers. They take good shots. They don't take stupid shots. They take the correct shots, and they just were not hitting, and you cannot do that with Connecticut. If you they were planning to win that game, they needed to come out with the same firepower they came out last year versus Duke. They needed to go make their shots. I know they had Gordon Hayward and everything, but that was not an excuse. If you're in that championship, that needs to be more of the biggest, one of the biggest priorities that you need to do in order to compete against a big powerhouse like Connecticut, and they were not able to do so. They finished the game making only 11 shots, which is ridiculous. The game was boring overall. Mike, did you catch a glimpse of the game or see some, you know, some replays or something in ESPN?
You know, I watched the game, and it wasn't fun to watch, man. The first half was very boring. Man, I think there was more bricks in that game than the total amount of bricks it took to build my house, man. It was just pretty bad. I mean, you think in that championship game, you think, all right, the best two teams that came out of the tournaments. But you look at it, I was like, am I looking really at the best two teams the NCAA this year? It's like, obviously not, but they're the ones who survived the tournament. You know, if you survive the tournament and go to the national championship, you better step up and show the world that you deserve to be there. And neither team was showing the world that they what they do best. Thankfully for Connecticut, they stepped it up in the second half, and you know, they actually from there on they won the game.
Yeah, Kemba Walker did his all around game. Unfortunately, Javi said that he was going to score 40. Didn't expect Kemba Walker to score 40, especially in college basketball. But he played very well. The team played great overall. They came back. They took the advantage. And that's a team that you can't fool around. You can't keep them there. I said the same thing with him with Kentucky just because of the experience and the way Connecticut played all season long. Connecticut, you needed to slap them in the mouth from the gate. You needed to go up on Connecticut, and you needed to be up 10 points in the halftime and make Connecticut have to try to fight back, and it would be too late. But that wasn't the case. The minute I saw Butler and Connecticut, what was it, 24-24 at halftime or something? It was ridiculous.
Something like that.
It was ridiculous. And when I saw that, I already knew what Connecticut was going to be coming out with, and I knew Butler was not going to be able to handle it. But overall, like you were saying, very boring. You expected a better championship game. I did not expect to turn it off. I literally was discussed on the championship game. That definitely was not the championship you expect, especially in a college atmosphere. I mean, you're talking about, you know, this is where players are not playing for money. The players are playing, you know, for their heart. They're playing for, you know, to actually make it to the next level. And they get they got to give their all. And, you know, that performance, they just were off. And it was an awful game. I wish they could line that game up and do it again, just like the Heat Lakers Christmas game. I wish they could do that game again because that was also awful.
Oh, man. You're not telling me that.
Yeah, I don't want to bring it up, but I hate games like that. You expect so much from it, and it ends up being like the biggest garbage.
At least the rematch was better.
Literally, I mean, that was a good thing, but there is no rematch in championship games.
There is no
rematch in life unless you get another opportunity, and that's not going to happen. But overall, good job to Butler all season. I mean, they made it again, considering they lost Gordon Hayward. They still was able, and congratulations to Connecticut. Well-deserved. Kemba Walker should raise your draft stock at least to a top 12 pick probably this year. And Matt Howard, yeah, good hustler overall. He's got that Tim Tebow in him. He's a hustler. He's a team leader overall, but was unable to come through completely. But congratulations again to Connecticut. And, you know, we'll see what goes from there. Well, that's about does it for the first half of our show. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but don't change that dial because we'll be right back with the second half of our show.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. Personally, I recommend The Lost Symbol by Dan Brown, and you can get this book or any of their 85,000 titles free today. Not everyone has the time to read an entire book, and that's why this is the best way for you to read these bestsellers that everybody's talking about. Go to audibletrial.com/overtime to get your free audiobook today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/overtime.
Hello and welcome back to the second part of our show. Boy, do we have a great second part of our show for you. Just to give a quick reminder to everybody, please visit our website if you haven't done so already at vitanews.com. If you have a Facebook, just search for us on Facebook, Vita News. And if you got a Twitter, just get the triple package, like I always said, and follow us at Vita News. But now we're going to go to what the beginning of baseball season. Finally, it's here, and I'm loving it so far. Let's start off though with the hottest players, and then we're gonna go bring up other topics of like hottest teams that have not done so well. So we're gonna start off with let's start off with the guys that broke the record. Let's start with Ian Kinsler and Nelson Cruz are the first dual players in the same team in 3 games to hit 3 home runs. Isn't that incredible, Michael?
That's pretty impressive, man. Talking about the first dual players in the history of Major League Baseball to hit 3 home runs in 3 straight days to start off the season. It's pretty impressive.
And that's coming off to a great start. And what's even better is the fact that they both were hurt last season. So you're kind of happy that they both got back to a better track and they started the season hot. I know a lot of people are talking about that Nelson Cruz could be like the surprise Josh Hamilton MVP this year. And it's good to see that he got right on track just to start the season.
And Ian Kinsler, everybody's saying, yeah, this kid's amazing if he can stay healthy. And clearly, he's proving everybody that he is that guy that can be a top tier second baseman. And hopefully, he'll stay healthy with Texas Rangers.
Hopefully, they need him, all the players, especially losing their pitchings and all that, losing Cliff Lee during the offseason, sweepstakes. They need everybody that they can get if they want to make another run to the World Series, hopefully. But great start to Texas. But another guy that's completely on a tear right now, and usually a guy that does not start off hot. I mean, I look at this guy's statistics, and the last 8 or 9 seasons that he starts the season, he sucks in April. Literally just sucks in April. Cannot get off to a good start. And the guy I'm talking about is Mark Teixeira. But we're now seeing that it ain't no joke. He's done. He's out of that curse. He's hit 4 home runs in 4 straight games. He was on fire. And he's not only leading in AL RBIs, well, tied with Carlos Quinton, but he's leading overall the whole entire league with 10 RBIs. Do you believe Mark Teixeira will continue this hot streak, or you think it's a little flu?
Man, I hope, 'cause this guy is an amazing player, and it kind of sucks getting off to bad starts in the season, year in and year out. So I'm kind of happy for him that he got off to a good start. Maybe give Yankee fans some hope that Yankees could actually prevail this year. But I don't have him going far in the playoffs. Hopefully my Red Sox turn around and show him who's boss.
We'll see what they can do. I'm going to talk about a guy that's not really much of a sleeper, but didn't really expect to see him doing so great. And that's my boy Ricky Weeks from the Milwaukee Brewers. Started off very good, got a good start, already has 3 home runs. A guy that really is not a power hitter. He could hit you those 20 home runs and stuff like that, but he's off to a great start. Don't you believe, Michael? Is this good for Milwaukee? They need this.
Yeah, man. Outside of Ryan Braun and Prince Fielder, they don't have that many home run options. Yeah, you got Corey Hart and you got Ricky Weeks, but they don't come close to Ryan Braun and Prince Fielder's ability to swing the bat. So it's nice for him. And you know what? I'm trying to look at stats today. This could be the year of the second basemans. A lot of second basemans have been showing up early and playing well. So maybe second basemans this year will. It'll probably be the year of the second baseman, like last year was the year of the pitcher.
We'll see. Well, hopefully, a guy that also has turned tear it up so far, Neil Walker. He was the first one to hit a grand slam, and he's off to a great start. And overall, Pittsburgh's off to a very good start, if I may add. Don't you think?
They're doing very well with what they got, Pittsburgh
And
is.
that's pretty much what I'm saying. I mean, you're talking about a team that they don't really got anybody outstanding there that you're like, wow, okay,
You look at
that guy's a stud.
McCutcheon, and that's pretty much it. I find
Yeah, and they got
McCutchen
about a
like, whoa.
bunch of good young players everywhere. I mean, Pedro Alvarez, Neil Walker, McCutchen's super young. I mean, they don't even know where to put McCutchen, and he's just so good. They're doing so good. Jose Tabata is playing really well for Pittsburgh as well. Pittsburgh's off to a great start, you know, with what they got. Hopefully, they can continue what they're doing. Moving on though to our next player, though, I'm gonna talk about the Yankees. Catcher and DH, who are literally playing magnificent. Seems like Russell Martin has fit the Yankees mold very good, stealing bases, playing great defense, and doing very good on offense. But he's not the only catcher that's doing good at New York, for their hip hip Jorge has been doing as very good as well in that DH spot. A lot of question marks in the beginning of the season. Can Jorge play that DH spot? We know he's, you know, very clutch when it comes to situations and stuff like that, but can he maintain that DH spot? And it seems like he's playing very well with three home runs. What do you think about this, Michael?
That was a big question mark coming in. Can he make a transition to a DH? And he's come out beginning of the season showing that, yeah, I could do this, you know. And I'm happy for Jorge, you know. The last couple of seasons have not been quite good for him to his standards. So, you know, maybe with this move to the DH, you know, he solidifies a bat for the Yankees. And Russell Martin looks like to revive his career after a couple of bad seasons with the Dodgers, which led off the Dodgers releasing him, which I wasn't too happy with it because I know how good Russell Martin is, being the Dodger fan I am. But I'm happy for Russell to playing well with the New York Yankees.
Very indeed. He's playing very well indeed. He's playing magnificent, and that's, you know, a crucial spot that the Yankees were kind of afraid of, you know, moving Jorge finally to the DH, considering he's already 36-year-old and planning on retiring. But they got a young stud there, and he's gonna be a good catcher for the Yankees for many years to come. But going away from the hitters right now, let's talk about Mike. Give me a surprising AL pitcher and an NL pitcher who have started off amazing for both sides.
Man, I'm gonna hit you with this one with today's probably a really good performance. I'm sorry, not today. He started off good with two wins. AJ Burnett from the New York Yankees. Can you believe that? Two wins already, man.
Yeah, I know he's doing what he's not playing amazing. He's getting it done. He's doing the right pitches. He sometimes gets some people on base and stuff like that, but he finds a way to throw the correct pitch to either get that double play, you know, do what he needs to do in order for the Yankees to win. And that's all that matters, because AJ Burnett has not been very good for the Yankees many seasons. And you know what? At this late in the game, whatever he can do to help the team win is good for AJ Burnett, especially this late in the game.
And he needs to keep up this good play if he wants to solidify the number two spot for the New York Yankees, that they got question marks up and down that rotation. Once you pass CC Sabathia, you got him, you got Phil Hughes, you got Bartolo Colon and Freddy Sanchez. I don't know what the deal is between them.
And even Nova. Ivan Nova. Don't forget him.
Ivan
He's a
Nova,
fourth starter.
the really good youngster that you introduced me to him because I didn't really know about him. But if AJ Burnett keeps it up, you know, I'm happy for him. He's had a couple bad years, and maybe this year will turn around for him. As for the NL side, I'm gonna stick with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Kevin Correa has come out with two wins to start out the season, and he's pretty much been their ace so far for this young Pittsburgh team. And hopefully he can continue riding a ship for the Pittsburgh Pirates. As you know, they haven't had much success in a couple, can I say decade?
Yeah, we could pretty much say so.
You know, and it's good for them. I'm happy for Pittsburgh. You know, maybe they got some excitement going on in for their baseball team.
Most definitely, we have to see. But good start for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they're pitching, you know. Not a big name out there that you hear every day at pitching, but he's already got two wins, and that's good for the Pirates. For me, though, AL pitcher, I'm going to go with a guy who teared it up today. Just allowing one earned run, pitched 8 innings, only gave up 4 hits, only walked once, and did 13 strikeouts. I'm gonna go with the White Sox pitcher, Edwin Jackson. Off to a great start. Beat my boy, the Tampa Bay Rays, who are currently in a slump, which we'll get into a little bit later in the show. But Edwin Rodriguez, now 8 years pitching. Isn't that, he's very good, not a huge name. obviously better than Pittsburgh Pirates pitchers and stuff like that. But off to a great start, amazing amount of strikeouts, and it's good to see the Chicago White Sox. They really need this. They kind of have question marks, you know, with John Danks and stuff like that, and the Chicago White Sox pitching staff, Mark Burley and everything, getting old. But it's good to see Edwin Jackson picking it up and, you know, helping the Chicago White Sox, just in my opinion.
And I'm happy for him because I think the move from Arizona to Chicago last year benefited him, because in Arizona he wasn't that great. Because this kid, he kind of reminds me of AJ Burnett. You know, he has a strong arm, you know, but he gets in a situation sometimes he just can't fight it off. And that's what causes his high ERA. You know, I think last year he finished up with like 4.3 ERA, something. It was really high, dude. And I look at him like, this is not him. If he goes to a team and that's good offense, kind of like Chicago White Sox are, and he controls his techniques, you know, this kid has, you know, can go far, and so far he's doing good. And just to show you, 13 strikeouts proves that he's a strikeout pitcher.
Most definitely. It's good to see that, you know, Chicago White Sox acquired this on a much-needed pitching staff that they needed. So it's good to see that he got on a good start. And for the NL, got a lot of players here, though. I do want to say one guy. I'm going to go with Yovani Galarado, though. My boy Tim Lincecum as well had an amazing game yesterday. And so did Clayton Kershaw for his first game. But I'm going to go with Yovani Galarado just because he's not originally the number one. We all know Zach Greinke will be the number one once he comes back in about another week or two or so. But just what Yovani has done so far for Milwaukee. I said Milwaukee in my other podcast, they're a sleeper team. You know, they're 3-4. They won tonight, today versus the Atlanta Braves 4-2. I'm sorry, but Yovani has played magnificent during the two games that he has pitched. We're talking about a kid, very young. I've told Michael about this kid. He also has a great bat. He's probably one of the best batters in Major League Baseball. And the kid is super young. The kid is 25 years old. The kid is already a number two, and he is, how can I say, a strikeout master. But it's amazing what he's doing. I've actually seen some highlights. I've read into a lot of people what they've been writing about Yovani so far. And Yovani's actually sacrificed the strikeouts that he usually – he's projected over 200 strikeouts. Last year he got to two-something, and he was projected to go for 220-something this year. But so far in two games, he only has 6 strikeouts, but he has a complete game, has only 2 earned runs, and has just played magnificent for the Brewers so far. It's good to see that Yovani got off to a good start. Not to mention, you know, with Zach Greinke being out with the whole rib injury. But it's good to see Yovani Galarado get off to a great start.
It's really good because they needed somebody to step up, and Yovani stepped up to be their ace while Zach Greinke deals with his rib injury.
No, most definitely. Any sleeper pitchers that, Michael, you see that have, you know, just came out of nowhere, or people had question marks and just was able to blow up this year so far?
It's been pretty normal, but if I'm gonna pick one, I'm gonna pick Derek Lowe from Atlanta Braves. He came out with 2 good games. In 2 games, he allowed one run with 13 strikeouts, and he started off with an ERA of 0.77. That's pretty impressive for the age of Derek Lowe to come out. Another person that I'm gonna say with Atlanta also, Tim Hudson. He's only played 1 game. He came pitched 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, and 5 strikeouts. So Atlanta's, you know, they have their youngsters like Tommy Hanson, but the veterans show that they still got something left in the tank, and Derek Lowe and Tim Hudson has proven that so far, and hopefully they can continue riding the ship as Atlanta looks to be a favorite wild card this year.
Very good pick. I'm going to go with, even though the way Tampa Bay is playing, I've been killing you constantly of how Tampa Bay has gotten so good lately. I'm going to go with 2 of the pitchers, and one is James Shields, which is their number 2 pitcher that has stepped it up for Matt Garza, and who's pitched magnificent in his first game. A lot of question marks there, people. had mixed feelings. Why they get rid of Matt Garza? You know me, I've always told you it wasn't worth the money. Let him go. He's not worth it. I know James Shield can step up to that number two spot and be very good, like maybe possibly like a Ricky Nolasco in the Marlins and stuff like that. A very good number two. And I'm also going to give credit to my young stud. A lot of question marks, a lot of people saying that he definitely, you know, is too soon. He's not good. He's not ready. He shouldn't be brought up just yet. There's a lot of question marks. So, you know, if he was worth drafting in fantasy leagues at where he was being drafted. And I'm talking about Jeremy Hellickson, the young stud from Tampa Bay. I told you, Mike, in the beginning of the year, the kid's got a lot of potential, just like Wade Davis did. They all have potential in the whole Tampa Bay bullpen. But I know this. I see something in this kid. I read up on him. I've seen highlights. I've seen how this kid pitches the ball. The kid's got a great arm. And he came out and he started firing the ball amazingly for his first start. And, of course, he didn't get the win. Tampa Bay has not won a game just yet. But, you know, it's good to see that he got off to a good first start. And it's much needed help for Tampa Bay's team.
It's impressive what Tampa has in their pitching rotation that they've already locked in Wade Davis, and they're looking to lock down David Price as well. The only thing I got to say about their pitching as a void, as we all know, is their closer, Rafael Soriano, left them to be the settlement in New York, as his intentions is to probably take over Mariano after the season, or maybe two. We don't know when Mariano will leave. But when they get a pretty good closer, someone maybe even half the level of Rafael Soriano was, they're going to be pretty good.
We'll see what they have to do. They definitely need a close, in my opinion. But we'll talk about that when we talk about teams that are on and off, which will be our next topic, as a matter of fact. Let's talk about the teams that started off hot. Let's talk about a surprise team. Mike, give me a surprise team this year that turned out to be a great team so far.
Oh, man. Without question, Baltimore Orioles, man, they lost their first game like a couple of days ago. They started like 4-0. I was looking at it, I was like, is this a misprint in the newspaper or even articles on the web? I was like, wow, Baltimore. I mean, I like Baltimore. I like the acquisitions they got, you know, this year. I thought they're going to start up maybe like 500 stuff. Maybe the veterans are going to take a little while to get used to it, but no. The acquisitions of Derek Lee, Mark Reynolds, they proven out good as they start off 4-0 so far.
I'm going to go with the same team. Of course, their pitching staff, big question mark, all very young and everything. They're doing very well. I'm also going to pick with the Oakland A's, their young pitching staff, as well as the Baltimore Orioles. All big question marks. My opinion, we all know that you need to have great pitching staff in order to win games. That's just the league that we live in. If you don't got good pitching, you're not going to win games. And it looks like the Orioles are doing a magnificent job. And their bats are playing really good. The acquisitions, like you said, of adding Mark Reynolds and Derek Lee, and, you know, just adding more firepower to the Baltimore Orioles already with Adam Jones and Mark Marcassis. It's just very good for the whole Baltimore, who've been pretty much in a down for the last couple of years. It's good to see that they got off to a good start. But going back to the Oakland A's, all their young pitchers have pitched magnificent. Just tonight, Trevor Chahill, my fantasy pitcher, pitched magnificent for being, you know, the ace of Oakland. He pitched magnificent, and you need that, especially in these young pitchers. You see this, and it's so rare to see young pitchers be pitching, you know, at this level, especially from teams like the Oakland A's and the Baltimore Orioles. They got good bats. You know, maybe Baltimore has better bats than Oakland, but you know, they're not compared to the Boston Red Sox, not compared to the Yankees and stuff like that. So they need their pitchers to come out and perform and pretty much, how can I say, carry both their teams to success. And we see that in Baltimore and Oakland, in my opinion. Moving on, though, any upset teams, though? I know you're going to probably kill me with one of your favorite teams, though, but might as well just throw it out there. What's wrong with the Boston Red Sox, Mike?
Nah, I don't know. It's like I told you and I told everybody else. Baseball's a long season. So what? They started 0-6. I'm just probably keeping a positive mindset. This team's going to come around. potty this week or next week. They're gonna get their first win, and once they you get that first win, you're gonna be like, all right, we gotta do it like this from now on. And as a matter of fact, when they get their first win, this team is way too good to be 0-6. On paper, or when you see them on the field, they're way too good to be 0-6. So they're gonna turn around and hopefully still win the division, even with the Yankees starting off hot.
Fun statistics, though. Let's see if you got anything to say about this, though. No team, I believe, 1977, were the Pittsburgh Pirates, or was it the Mets? I can't remember right now. I heard
it
on
the
radio
station. I think it was the Pirates. I believe
it was the Pirates, yeah. The Pirates were the only team to make it into the playoffs, almost make it to the World Series, but lost in the World Series. Well, went to the World Series, but lost, and they started off 0-6, but we're talking about 40 years ago. You think this is going to, you know, make the Red Sox be another team that's not going to make it to the World Series, or you think they could overcome this?
Oh, they're going to overcome it. No question. This team is way too good, and they're going to overcome it.
I hope so. They're very good on paper. They got the good additions in the beginning of the year with Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford. But, you know, they just got to win their first game. John Lester pitched a magnificent game, but they didn't back him up. They need to get in sync with their pitching staff. You know, if they're going to be pitching good, they need, you know, power for their bat, because that Friendly Park really doesn't help, you know, at all the opposing team. Although, just like you, I have my team still have winless. And that's the Tampa Bay Rays, and it's pretty much almost the same exact, you know, story. Their pitching staff has done very well. David Price hasn't pitched, you know, magnificent, but he's pitched pretty well. But their batting is just, wow. I mean, it's pretty bad when B.J. Upton is your leading RBI with four RBIs. And that's just really bad. I mean, Johnny Damon's off to a bad start. Can't even remember the last time he hit the friggin' ball. Manny Ramirez is now with personal matters and still hasn't even shown up. Evan Longoria been hit with the injury, 15-day DL. My team should bounce around sooner, hopefully. But, you know, not compared to the Boston, you know, batting or their pitching, but very young and very promising, and I will continue to cheer on Tampa Bay and hope they could get over that slump.
I agree. I think they're going to overcome as well. They're a very young team. They just got to stay positive. Johnny Damon, Manny Ramirez needs to get their stuff together and pull these kids and show them, look, it's a long season. We're going to pull through this. Don't worry about it. And Manny, come on, man. This is like your last chance of being competitive, man. Stop being Manny. It's done. Those days in Boston, it's done, man. You should have known by now when you went to LA, you got traded from Boston, it was serious. He needs to get serious about playing with Tampa and showing that he still has a little pop left in his bat, because Manny, even though he's lazy and stuff, but Manny's very, very talented when it comes as a batter.
Hopefully he could turn it around and provide that firepower, at least that, you know, since the Tampa Bay Rays did lose Carl Crawford to your Boston Red Sox. Hopefully they could turn it around when Evan Longoria gets back in that lineup. Still scary lineup, in my opinion, when you start B.J. Upton, Johnny Damon, Evan Longoria, and then Manny Ramirez right after that. That's pretty scary, 1-4, if they all are playing on their game, you know, how they usually play. But like you said, it's a long season. Can't count on a team this early. We're talking about a team that started off hot, you know, our local, you know, backdoor players of Florida Marlins, I believe, started the season 12-0. And they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, they started off great. Everybody's like, wow, the Marlins look like they could make it to the playoffs. They look like a fighting team, man. Well, just as fast as they were winning 12 games, they lost like 12 games in a row after that.
So yeah, it's not how you start, bro. It's like I said, that's how you finish.
Especially since it's so long. So many amount of games in baseball and basketball. It's not like football, you know, one game and you're out of, you know.
Yeah.
You could pretty much be out of it.
That expression can't be said in football. In football, you got to bring your A game every single Sunday or Monday or even Thursdays, you know.
It could be your last.
One game could be your last, and one game could change your standings in the playoffs, or you're making the playoffs, though.
Man, just like I told you, though, I want to repeat it because I know I told you by the phone, but I'm going to repeat it again. You imagine the Dolphins, you know, they got robbed at Pittsburgh Steelers game. Now, Pittsburgh
Man.
Steelers finished with the Ravens tied, but won because of the amount of conference games won, and it was the division breaker and everything. So Pittsburgh was awarded the second, but had Miami beaten them, Baltimore would have been the number two team. They would have had a bye. Then that means the Pittsburgh Steelers would have gone against the Kansas City Chiefs, and then you're talking about a whole different story. I mean, the playoffs and Super Bowl could have been completely different. It's not really much like that in baseball nor basketball. You lose a game, well, you got a lot more to make up and stuff like that. But of course, losing in any of the sports is bad. But in football, you're gonna have to dry your tears really quick because you know you can't just go on a losing streak. You know, just like the Giants. I mean, the Boston Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays are doing right now. But they could turn it around. It's a long season. Hopefully, you know, they could win tomorrow or the day after, but we'll see. Mike, quick thing. We always talk about MVPs in basketball. You give me three candidates. I can't remember the three you told me. I know you told me LeBron, Derrick Rose, and I forgot your other one. But give me your three candidates for MVP. Well, three in AL and three in NL, and you know, give me your three MVPs to see what you got.
Oh boy, here we go. I'm gonna start off probably the best pitcher this year, and it's not because he plays in Philadelphia. It's just Doc Holliday, man. Every year, year in, year out, you know, he provides you that he is the ace, the true ace of MLB, regardless of what team he is, if it's Toronto or in Philadelphia. So he's always a candidate for me. Albert Pujols, yeah, he's in a slump right now, but the machine's gonna turn it around. I sound like a broken record. It's a long season, but he's gonna turn it around. As my third one, this is quite interesting. I want to say a shortstop, and probably the shortstop that's actually shown up to play so far. You know, Hanley has let me down a lot, so I'm gonna go with Troy Tulowitzki. Tulowitzki has shown that last year was no fluke. He's come all strong this year. He already has like a home run, I think, and he's batting really good. So those are my three from the NL. As from the AL, Adrian Gonzalez, no question about it. He's always a candidate for MVP, and just being in the American League, it's not gonna be any different. Let me see, what else? Who do I got else? Miguel Cabrera. How'd I forget about him? I'm so sorry. Miguel Cabrera, Miguel is the dominant player in first base. And yeah, I have two first basemen, but you know what? These are, besides Albert Pujols, these are the top two first basemen. And you know what? It's a very good competition. And I wish they were all in one league so I can have Miguel against Adrian against Albert. I mean, you know, that would be a heck of a race for MVP for me. And as for my third one, man, that's a difficult one. I want to pick a pitcher. So let's see. I'm gonna go with King Felix. King Felix last year won the Cy Young, and I think this year he'll turn around and give a good effort for MVP.
Very good, three candidates on both sides. As for me, going in the National League, I will take one of your players and agree with Troy Tulowitzki. He's just that playmaker overall. He could single-handedly carry the Colorado Rockies like he pretty much did today to win the Pittsburgh Pirates. And when you have a guy that can literally win you a game, that guy deserves to be an MVP candidate for sure. Albert Pujols. You know what? I've said that he's going to have an off year. I don't think he'll be an MVP candidate. He'll have a good pretty much season. It'll be his worst season though, in my opinion. This contract year so far has got into his head so far. He didn't want to make a show and stuff like that. He should have just signed the contract. And if in the end he signs a contract, he literally just wasted time for St. Louis But I'm guessing in my mind, with the route that he chose and everything, I'm guessing he's going to leave the St. Louis Cardinals, because if you did want to stay in the first place, you would have just signed that contract and just, you know, get down to business with St. Louis and make a good run.
And now, he had a good contract, too. It wasn't like, no.
It was a magnificent contract. We're talking about $25 million a year, even after he's like 39 and stuff. Where he's.
I remember we were watching TV and we saw it. We were like, what? He just turned that down? No way.
You know, that kind of scratches my head. Makes me wonder. He probably might want to leave St. Louis, maybe pursue a team that could actually make it deep. But we'll see there. But I don't pick him so far. I got Tulu. I have to go then with Ryan Braun. Off to a hot start. Always playing great for the Milwaukee Brewers. Milwaukee Brewers is, like I've said, since a thousand, thousands of times, they're a sleeper team with me. I think they're going to make it far. Ryan Braun is that X factor. If he plays magnificent, he's going to be an MVP candidate. And my last one, I don't want to pick a pitcher, though, but I want to pick Jason Hayward. Off to a great start. Got to carry the Atlanta Braves. They want to make it far. He's got to do good with Dan Uggla. I think he's going to rise up. Everybody's expecting this kid to be a magnificent player, and he has not proven anybody wrong. Therefore, I expect him to actually get the pressure of Phillies, four pitchers and stuff like that, and play magnificent all season long and prove that he is an MVP in this league.
Better have a better year than last year, because Michael Stanton in half a season had more home runs than him, so hopefully
he can. Well, he was coming with injury. He was coming up with injury, and he's got a good team around him. Martin Prado, they added Dan Uggla. They got a good team, but everybody knows in Atlanta he's gonna be the X factor, just like Ryan Braun is that X factor in Milwaukee. I think Jason Hayward's gonna be that X factor. He has a great season, then the Atlanta Braves will push hard in the playoffs. And it could be a team that you could watch for the World Series if they could stay young and their pitchers stay good all season long. It's a scary team.
Actually, they will make noise. They will make noise in the playoffs, just to add to yours.
They will make noise. As for the American League, I'm going to steal two of your players just because of how dominant they are. No question, your first baseman from Boston, your boy, Adrian Gonzalez. Boston's off to a slow start, but we know when Adrian Gonzalez is there in that friendly park, he could turn it around easy. And if anything, that's a bright side from Boston besides John Lester pitching magnificent today has been Adrian Gonzalez playing so well with so many doubles. And then I will steal your favorite first baseman in Miguel Cabrera in Detroit, just because the kid can do it all. Kid is a team leader for his team. No matter what, problems he may have outside, that stays outside. It definitely does not affect his game in the field. So Miguel Cabrera is an MVP candidate and possibly, in my opinion, could win it all. All depends on, I'm picking my boy, Evan Longoria, my third final candidate. He's going to turn it around this season. Everybody needs him to play great in Tampa, and we are expecting big things from him from Tampa Bay. So I know Evan Longoria is not going to let anybody down. He's he hasn't let anybody down already with what he has, but I think he's going to take that big step and surpass A-Rod in a lot of statistics. Hopefully he could have a breakout season, even being on the injury list. And that will be my three candidates from the American League.
Very good, very good.
All righty. To end our show, our fastest minute, I'm going to use it pretty much. We were talking about MVPs. I'm going to use it on Cy Youngs for the American League and the National League. I'm going to give two from the American League, and I'm going to give two from the National League. The two from the National League, I'm going to, of course, go with my boy, as everybody knows, if you knew me that well. I am a big Tim Lincecum fan, so I will have him winning again a Cy Young, even though he's won already before. I feel like he's an X factor for San Fran this year. The pitching staff needs him to do good, and he did an amazing outing last night, and I expect many more from him, and I believe he will be one of the candidates. And if I have to pick a second one, I'm going to have to. I like Roy Halladay, and I like Zach Greinke, but I'm going to go with a guy. I'm gonna go with your boy, and not to mention our other beat writer, George Vega's boy, Clayton Kershaw, off to a great start. That left-handed pitcher is pitched magnificent. I believe he's gonna be a candidate there towards the end of the season. And as for the American League, well, I'm gonna go with one. I'm gonna go with John Lester, the left-handed pitcher. He proved to me today he could pitch it. He just needs the firepower offense. He's a good left-handed pitcher, very young, very talented. He's the X factor in Boston. He needs to continue that. Hopefully, Clayton Buchholz, Josh Beckett, and John Lackey can feed off his amazing outing, and hopefully they could grab their first win. And the other pitcher I'm going to have to pick will obviously be King Felix, just because he's King Felix and he's Venezuelan, and I'm a big Venezuelan supporter, if you know.
Oh, Lord. for my fast minute, one topic that I kind of wanted to go in our baseball segment, which we didn't, but so I'm going to use it for my fast minute. Rookie of the Year, and it's very difficult picking it from the beginning of the year, so, but I don't think it's that difficult. So for my AL, I'm going to stick, you're probably your boy from Tampa Bay, Jeremy Hickerson. You're talking about this kid. He went 4-0 with 3.47 ERA, and his strikeout ratio was through the roof. This kid can be an ace, and if he stays in Tampa, it's a very scary 1-2 combo with him and David Price. And Tampa's future looks very, very bright with him, with Jeremy and David being their 1 and 2 at the pitching rotation. So he's my pick for American League Rookie of the Year. Now for the NL, it's kind of difficult. Yeah, I kind of wish Bryce Harper started the year with the Nationals. I see him as this year's Mike Stanton. You know, he's going to call it late, probably too late to be in the race. But I'm going to go with a reliever, Craig Kimbrel, for the closer from the Braves, as he is now the actual closer for the Braves due to the injury. This kid has very, very, very good fastball. You're talking about last year. He pitched 20 innings and he struck out 40 batters. That's pretty amazing. Oh, let me throw his ERA at you. 0.44. I really like that, my closer. I don't know about you. I like my closers having as close to number 0 in ERA as possible. This kid is very amazing. He could be up there with the best of them in the top closers in the league. And he is my unanimous pick for NL Rookie of the Year in 2011.
Very good fast man. Very good fast minute. Well, that about wraps it up for our show. Just want to say for the last time, please, for first-time visitors or listeners, please visit our website at vitanews.com. If you got a Facebook, search for us on Facebook at Vita News. If you got a Twitter, just get the trio package, like I always say over and over and over again. Just follow us at Vita News. It was a good show, Michael. I'd like to give a special thanks for joining me on another episode.
Man, the pleasure is mine to joining you, man, each week.
And thank you to all the listeners. Also, make sure to listen to our sister company, Coffee with Rob, always posting up the latest news in politics and world news. Make sure to listen to his podcast, where it's like us every week. And that's about wraps it up for our show. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week for another episode, hopefully with a special guest.